I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's Tuesday. We got the John and Wayne show back, and I can't wait. Several of these shows, Wayne, I do for me, and I hope that other people get something out of it because I feel like, man, we're in this boat together. Let's figure this out. Today's all about me, guys. I want to be selfish. We are going to sponge out as much information as we possibly can from the main man, Wayne Breezy, who was down in Mobile at the Cedar Bowl. Are you rested? Are you still exhausted? How you feeling?
Today I took a shower and I said, I'm exhausted, yo. Like, I've been taking showers, but I've been moving at the same pace. It finally hit me today, that 1 hour time zone change difference finally hit me today. So, like, I'm exhausted, but I'm geared up. I'm ready for this off season to kick off. It was really refreshing to get down there. John, it's like, go back to when you were like 10 or 11 and your parents got the income tax return and it was April and it was like, yo, we're going to the toy store. I was at the Senior Bowl and I wanted him. I want him. He would be a good fit. He'd be a great fit. That's a great fit. Nah, that's a bad one. Like, it was just so cool to be down there. And I think my favorite part, though, is just talking to the players and how very well respected they are and all that type of stuff at Media Day. It was really cool. So it was just great times in Mobile.
Oh, I love it, man. It was so cool. I really do appreciate it. Just really, I texted you this. Like, whenever I'm on the Wayne Breezy Twitter feed and I'm just learning and, you know, paying attention. I was skiing up in the mountains, man. And I was like, I wish I had my notes in front of me so I could keep adding to all my draft notes for all these players. But today, that's what we're going to be doing. So we're going to be talking Senior Bowl. We're going to be talking kind of what it is we learned about different players, positions, and all those things. But before we even dive into that, Wayne, why is the Senior Bowl so important for the 49ers? Why do you make this trip year after year? You, Steph, Johnny Dill, Brad, I mean, just legends of legends. Why are all these 49ers content creators, beasts like yourself, making that trip all the way down to Mobile, which isn't easy from the Northeast? That's not an easy trip.
No, it's not.
Why? Tell me why.
Just to sum it up in a nutshell, man, it's you got to go back to 2017 when Kyle Shanahan coached the Senior Bowl, and it's about the connections that they make with the players. And I think the rapport that they've built with the Senior Bowl, the committee, all that type of stuff, I think it keeps it up. So it's like you really get a first crack at who the Niners may be interested in at the Senior Bowl. Now, I understand that Kyle Shanahan is no longer coaching, but there is representation from the 49ers. You know, watching KJ Wright out there do his thing was just tremendous. And you can tell on the sideline, I posted so much stuff and all the content creators we were posting, we were focusing on him just to see his energy, to see how he was responding, reacting to the players. I mean, he was just fired up. And so right then and there, I knew there was connections being made, John. And I think that's the most important part. And when you look at the San Francisco 49ers, you can say that several players from the Senior Bowl have been drafted by the 49ers. And two of them are currently, I believe, still on the roster. Well, they're currently on the roster under contract, right? Deebo Samuel, Juwan Jennings. And so, like I said, this is where they go. The draft starts in Mobile, and just the connection from the Niners being there 2017, holding it down. That's probably why I'm there every year, because I get to get a first crack at who the Niners may be interested in.
I love it too. And you've got to remember, you know, Steph does that awesome Google Doc sheet where she keeps track of all the times the 49ers have met with certain players. So somebody from the 49ers staff meet with somebody, and you only get 30 official interviews. Well, guess what? KJ Wright has been in a locker room on the field talking to these guys about life, about their past, about injuries, about scheme, about what they see. So yeah, you get 30 official visits or interviews. He spent time with 70 plus players for a week straight. So, and I see the chat is going a little bit off on the whole Mike Green thing. And this is something that I do want to talk about a little bit.
Sure.
Because again, we don't get that info. We don't. And so Chad says here for the Mike Green, Walter Nolan hype train. We're going to talk about both those players, but Invader comes out and says, you know, Mike Green is probably off the Niner board for assault. Albert Breer put this out as well, said, man, there's some character issues. There's some past issues with Mike Green. I'm not here to provide validity to that or to dismiss that. However, for those of you that always say Kyle Shanahan is too stubborn, he doesn't learn, he doesn't adapt, whatever else, I would disagree. Since Reuben Foster, the 49ers have not drafted one player. They have not brought in one free agent player that has any type of past red flags whenever it comes to character, assault, legal, whatever. So, Wayne, not so much what are your thoughts on the accusations that are out there or not out there. I don't care about that. What are your thoughts on the 49ers and their past dealing with these players in the draft that might have character concerns? Because we're never going to get the answer to this. We don't have that access to the information.
Yeah, I mean, but I think by the way they've been doing things and handling their business, you know, they're going to stay away from types of players with these types of character issues, right? So, again, this was some type of an assault accusation on Mike Green, and I guess you kind of got to let it play out because we don't really know what it is. Like, you know what I mean? So it could be someone trying to get some bread. It could be something that's real. Will the Niners stay away from him? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I don't know. He didn't seem to have any character issues down there in Mobile. He was very friendly, spoke very well. But again, stuff off the field that can present a problem. So it's a possibility the Niners stay away from him. It's a possibility he drops in the draft. But you got time to see how things end up panning out. Got the combine coming up and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens as these accusations kind of hit the surface of things. But there is a red flag there. And
yeah,
that's something that you can't turn your eye to. And it all comes down to what the red flags are and how much John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan believe in this particular type of player. You know, they did draft Reuben Foster. That was the last red flag character guy. And they brought Richard Sherman in, remember, to kind of like help him. And so we'll see, you know, will this be a same type of scenario? I doubt it. I think he's just a different type of player. I'm not sure what the accusations are as far as assault. So I don't.
Yeah, I don't like going down that road. But I do think that it's important just from a Niners perspective. Like, hey, they've stayed away from these guys in the past. Don't know. The guilt, the innocence, that we don't. I'm not diving in. I'm not sitting in the room, but I guarantee you the Niners are going to have these conversations with not only him, all the other people involved. And it's funny because people are always like, man, we could have had Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons, those things were detailed completely out in the open and, you know, court official documents. That was a little bit different thing. 49ers were never going to draft Micah Parsons ever, ever, ever because of just how terrible he was in college. I don't know if that's the case with Mike Green. I don't know. But we do know there are so many different players. And my favorite thing about the Senior Bowl, Wayne, best on best. These are all NFL players against NFL players. And you could talk about, like, you know, whether it's Marshall, North Dakota State, Western Kentucky. You put these guys out there with all NFL players, who shows up the most? And my first player I got to talk about.
Okay.
I want to go offensive line, interior offensive line. North Dakota State, Gray Zabel, was voted by the players to be the practice player of the week. What were your thoughts on Gray Zabel?
He's a monster. The thing is, he lined up at center, guard, and tackle. So don't just say that he's an interior guy. He played all five spots on the offensive line, and I think he might have lost two reps the whole time I was there, you know, with a move or so. Like, you know what I mean? So, I mean, a kid that's coming from a small school like North Dakota State and being able to kind of like go toe-to-toe with the Power Five schools, you know, those types of school players, that really stands out. And you got to remember, like, remember Cody Mauch? Remember I kept saying I wanted him. No, he went to North Dakota. Look how he's doing. Damn near good pro to me. Was in the playoffs this year. And so I don't really charge the player to the school. When I'm there, I'm watching one-on-ones, and then I'm watching the team drills, and I'm watching how they move. And with offensive linemen, they're rotating them in and out, like, at different spots. And so Gray Zabel's probably going to somehow sneak back into the first round. And here's the thing, right? It's going to be one of those teams at the end of the draft, at the end of the first round, Kansas City Chiefs might get them a player. And it sucks because it's like, dang, if he can make it to 43, it's got to be a 49er, right? Got to be, but he's not making it to 43.
Yeah, and so right here, NY Niners, he says, do you think the Niners will see Zabel as a center or a guard? He had 32 and one quarter inch arms, so I think you could put him at tackle. Definitely as a pinch.
Yeah, never at tackle, but a pinch. The pinch is cool, but guard for sure. And his ability to play center, like you said, is key. And that's why he screams 49ers to me, because this is a Chris Forster type of a guy, right? Hard worker, coming from a small school like that to boost his stock up in the way that he did. And he's cool, man. He's I don't know what North Dakota is. Is that country, Midwest? What is it?
Midwest country.
He's a country bumpkin, man. It was
Noodles
cool.
And Mock.
it was cool talking to him, like, you know, and he was just talking about the Dakotas. I have no idea about the Dakotas, unless it's like Dakota Fanning or whatever. But he was just telling me about the Dakotas and the weather and stuff like that. He's just a cool guy. Like, you know what I mean? Definitely like the kid.
Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26.5 points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20.5 points? Over, under, you get paid. If you get it right, that's where it is. So go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
Yeah, and I will say this. I think that this center class, this draft, is not great. I didn't think that there would be anybody that would go day one for sure. I didn't think there would be anybody go round two for sure. Now that changes. I think teams will see Grayson Bell as a guard center, and if the Niners were to target him, let's say he did fall to 43. I don't think he's an option at 11, but if he did fall to 43, he'd be somebody you draft, you plug in at left guard, and then hopefully in a year he'd move to center. Somewhere around those lines. I think that would be the process. So in mock drafts, this is now a conversation. Is he worth that 43 overall pick, Wayne? In your opinion, in the 49ers scheme, would you be upset if they took Grayson Bell at pick 43 in that second round? Has he proven enough?
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, when you test great against the best of the best, which is one of my favorite movies, part one and two. I think there's a part three, but I could get into it. But
they were so good.
Yeah, but when you test well against the best of the best, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's going up against monsters. Like, this draft is for defense. Like, this is the year of the defense. You can fix your defense here, defensive line, defensive edge, more the interior guys, right? Whether you want pass rushing guys, run stuffing guys, this is that year. But he tested well against all the top names: Walter Nolan, Aeneas Peebles, Darius Alexander, like all these top crazy defensive, Deion Walker, like all of them. He tested well. So I think 43 suits him well. I just don't know if he'll be available at 43. Would I trade back up into the first to get him? I would do that too.
I think center's that big of a need. I think it's the biggest offensive need on the team. Is there anybody else at center that you were like, man, this is somebody we need to pay attention to at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I liked the kid out of USC, Jonah.
Meinheim.
And Willie Lampkin, I believe that's his name, I left my sheet upstairs. Willie Lampkin from North Carolina, who's a guard-center combo. When he came in at center, I was like, yes! Like, moving mountains. I like the kids. So those are two guard center combo guys that I think are going to move their draft stock up.
Okay, I like that. I like the versatility of Monheim for sure. Kawachipto, North Dakota State has proven linemen in the league. Just don't take quarterbacks from there. That's what it is. Yeah, rural as that's what it is up
that's
there.
Dakota's,
no doubt about that.
Got you.
Let's see here. He didn't play center at all. Not sure who you're talking about. But Grayson Bell played center in high school, and he played center at the Senior Bowl. So I think that gets
correct.
Kind of the check mark there. And Vader, this was a guy that was not on my list, but he's added now. The 49ers met with Wake Forest offensive tackle Devondre Gordon, seemed impressed with his potential to move to guard center. He's not on my list, so I don't have a write-up on him currently. But that's why during this process you're always adding. And you know, are these undrafted free agents? Are these late third day guys, second? Like, that's what we're doing. The Niners have one of the most, how do I say this, original ways to build their draft board. They do not subscribe to groupthink. The Niners board is as original and different than all the other teams out there, period. They just do their own thing. It's a Shanahan way. He ain't going to change things. It's just what it is. So anyway, we'll take that. Now, let's go to offensive tackle Marcus Bowe out of Purdue. You had him in your most recent mock draft. What were your thoughts? The offensive tackle / guard guy. Marcus, it's spelled M-B-O-W, but the M is silent, so it's Marcus Bowe. What are your thoughts on him? Why did you have the Niners targeting him? What did you see?
I mean, I like them in pass protection. It's hard to really gear up the run blocking, and they don't really run in practice. Like, they run in practice, but the defense can't tackle them, so it's weird. But you did see some really – he set this one great – block, I believe that's who I targeted. It was for the running back out of Georgia, the brother ATN, and he took the outside zone run and he was gone. But Marcus Bowe is a professional. He's going to be a pro. You know, you could probably get him in rounds, maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe depending on like how the tackles fall. But I really think he would be a good scheme fit. He plays well in outside zone as well as an inside gap run. like, that is what I saw from Marcus Bowe. And pass pro is pretty good. He did great in his one-on-ones, right? He's not, like, he might get pushed back a little bit, but he's not giving up the pressure. Like, you know what I mean? He's not getting beat on out on the edge. When he came in as guard, he looked solid. And that's what I look for. Like, their footwork, are they light on their feet? Are their hands moving? He has pretty good arms, arm length as well, to be a tackle. I think it's 33-something-inch arms. I don't have it off the top of my head. But
33 flat, yeah.
He looked really solid out there, to be honest with you. First-round pick, no. Second-round pick, no. But the Niners aren't looking like the Niners aren't thinking the way we think. You know, we want to draft the best offensive lineman. We want the Will Campbell. That's not how the Niners are going to do this. They're looking for serviceable guys that they can find that still has great attributes that they can get a little bit later on in the draft. And just look at what they did with Dominic Pooney. I think Chris Forster is finally given some attention to where he can go out and kind of like hand select his guys. And I think that's pretty spot on.
And I think everybody wants the Niners to draft offensive linemen early. They haven't really done that. And if they do wait, like, you kind of have to prep this draft for, okay, do the Niners target offensive line early? If they don't, they're going to target it late. Who are those late round targets? Marcus Bowe is that guy. Feet, hands, versatility, like you talked about. And my favorite thing, and shout out to my man Brian, who sent me this clip. He does the Trent Williams snatch block where, like, he puts his hands out, pulls, and then clubs the back and knocks him down. You can find, like, 12-plus reps. And so it's so cool seeing, like, the Trent Williams stuff at the college level. And it's just like, man, the savviness and the versatility. This is a guy that has 18 starts at right tackle, 14 starts at right guard. He can play all over the place. One of those just kind of versatile guys. Is he a tackle? Is he guard? I don't know. But I guarantee you the 49ers really like this guy. Was there another offensive tackle that kind of jumped up to you, out to you, that you wanted to share or talk on? I don't want to pigeonhole.
I mean, Josh, like, regardless of the rep, Josh Connerly was the best tackle in practice. I know he had the one rep where he got beat on a move by Mike Green where he was asked to go to the right side. He's not a right tackle. He's a left tackle. So that right there showed his weakness when he had the lineup on the right side and Green beat him on the edge with the speed rush. But I thought he was the most solid tackle in the draft, and I like Josh Connerly out of Oregon, and I think he'll be like, there's a lot of players that I think will be good fits. The only thing is, I don't know how hard it is to transition to the opposite side. We have a left tackle. Making that transition could be a little rough, but in practice it was rough as you saw. But other than that, he was pretty solid. I love the way he gets back, he gets the hands up and doesn't allow these defenders to kind of like bull rush him. Like I said, he got beat with speed on the edge because I just think he got caught off balance. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, Mike just came in with a rip and it was a wrap. But I think Josh Connerly out of Oregon looked pretty damn solid out there.
You know, 27 starts all at left tackle. Yeah, played right tackle. So to go through that and learn, did he get better each day, right? Like, that's kind of thing. He's played a new spot. I feel like the ceiling of Josh Connerly is one of the highest in this draft class. 21 years old, raw. You love the athleticism, 34-inch arms, footwork's great. It's just, man, he's not there yet. You're drafting what he will be. And so, again, another guy, I think that's number 43 pick in the second round. I think that's one of those that is available there. Look at our man, Nicholas Parr. Appreciate the super chat. Says, what's up, bros? F them picks. Trade for Garrett. We got to be all in on the Super Bowl in Levi's. On the real, keep up the great work. Go Niners. Yeah, everybody's been talking about this lately. Where do you sit, Wayne?
Oh, 100%. It's all about going to get. I'm all about having the best people on the field at the same damn time. Like, that's my motto. And money. Yep. money ain't a thing. Money should never be a thing. I never think about the money. I don't care about the money. They care about the money. They get the job done. This is going to have to deal with picks and stuff like that. Contract is very serviceable over the next couple of years. Then you talk contract extension. But if you can get him right now at $6.3 million a year, I say go freaking get him. F them picks.
Yeah, I like it, man. I want to balance it. Yeah, my thing is I'm offering a first and fourth this year and a second round next year. See what they say. If he wants to win a championship, we offer that. The 49ers offer that better than anybody else. And we have one of the top picks, number 11 overall. there is no other title team contender in the top 15. So, yeah, for me, I think it makes sense, but we will see. Let's go to the tight end spot. One of the guys I'm struggling with my evaluation is Bowling Green's Harold Fanning Jr.
Yeah, the production is there, John. The thing about him is his production is there. So the reason why you're struggling with the evaluation is because when you watch film, his release is weird. His routes aren't crisp or smooth. They aren't smooth. Like, he's not a smooth runner, right? But he's productive. And so, like,
117 catches this season alone.
The most in college football this year, as long as with yards, right? Almost 1,500 yards. Yeah, that's the issue with him. Also, he's a little shorter. So he's like 6'3", 230-ish. And so, like, that's small. Not tight end, but he moves. My issue is in the NFL, will he struggle getting open? And so he would have to be one of those type of players that are used, considered as a weapon, like scheme him open, get the ball in his hand. Yak is his thing. So if Yak is his thing and we're a Yak team, which we used to be a Yak team, he would be a perfect fit for the Niners. But the issue is he's not a bad blocker. I think he had like a 70. He has 75 blocking grade too.
Film says he can block. His size says he's not a good blocker. So how did he show up on a Senior Bowl?
He didn't really block much. I'm trying to tell you, like these tight ends weren't blocking; they were catching this week. Like, so, because you got to remember, like, they ran plays. There were running plays, but it's really kind of hard to like evaluate the run plays when the defense can't go all in. The defense comes in, taps you on the back. Yeah. That's considered a tackle. No, I can't really assess how these players are playing in the blocking game. Now, he did drop the ball a couple of times on day one, but then he kind of like redeemed himself with some one-handed catches on day three. So I really like the kid. I feel like he's tight end three in this draft. Tight end three, tight end four in this draft.
Because he doesn't fit the real tight end two thing for us. Like, he's not like the extra
cross between receiver and he'd be a big ass. He'd be a big receiver, but a really tiny. You know what he is? He's a big ass running back.
Yeah, there's a place for that in the NFL. I'm not sure that's what the Niners need, because Kittle kind of does a lot of that.
What is Juice check?
So you would put him, but if he's going to go the second, third round for a fullback, I don't like that.
It's not just a fullback. I said weapon. Yeah. So like he won't be utilized as a fullback because he has a different skill set, but he is what when we use Kyle Juszczyk the way we want to use Kyle Juszczyk, that's what Harold Fanning is. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Allen says, Loveland, if we go tight end, back me up on this, Wayne. One of your Michigan guys. I think Colston Loveland's the best receiving tight end in this draft. I know a lot of people would probably argue with me over number 44 at Penn State, who I think is the most versatile.
I don't think Tyler Warren's the best receiving tight end.
If I want routes, hands, yeah.
Loveland is the route running tight end.
Yeah.
So he's the guy that, you know, you get the ball in his hand and it's a wrap. So I like Loveland. I feel like he's going to Cincinnati, though. I just feel like they're going to get another weapon.
It kind of fits what they do.
Yeah,
Leon, I think they'll go Haas. Those are the type. I like the big, strong, massive tight ends day three. Those are the guys I want, like Jackson Haas out of Georgia Tech. What you saw him, and I felt like he put up a lot of strong tape. Any takes on Jackson Haas?
Yeah, he had a great Senior Bowl to me. Not targeted much, but when targeted, caught a one-handed catch. If I'm not mistaken, Haas looks good. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, but I'm worried about I don't want just the blocking tight end though. I don't want the slow speeded tight end. I don't want a Charlie Warner. I want a blocker. Yeah, I don't want a blocker. We need a perfect complement piece, in my opinion, to George Kittle. You put 12 personnel on that football field, I want both tight ends to be a threat. When you look at what, and I hate to compare us to this team, but when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and they put out the Travis Kelce type of tight end and then they back him up with their backup tight end, like, they both move well with in the route running. And so I like that. They both can block. They don't super block, but they can both block. I don't think we need a huge blocking tight end. I'm not looking for a Kittle replacement in this draft. I'm looking for a Kittle compliment piece in this draft.
I like that. I like that. You got to add the side. Got to add the side. Joe, he says, John, last year, jokingly, I said we would pick a kicker in the third round. I said it was stupid. I would not entertain any of those conversations because of how dumb it was. And it was dumb, and they did it, and it sucked. But now he says, let's try this. Do you think we pick another future All-Pro 10-year offensive lineman with our third-round pick? So before we switch over to the defensive side, Wayne, if we had to pick offensive line in the third round, I know we talked about Marcus Bowe. Is there anybody interior or, you know, offensive tackle, guard, center, or anybody that kind of stands out to you as somebody that's like, hey, this is another kind of Dominique Pooney type guy? It's hard to predict that. I understand.
Yeah, it is. I think because they all come in with a different edge. Dominique Pooney's a different size. But the guy that I like no one's really talking about, is Jackson Slater from Sacramento State. And I'm not sure. Like, you want a mean, mauling guy that's going to wear half shirts, belly out, ready to get gritty and dirty in the run game, pass protection, interior offensive lineman. Check out Jackson Slater.
Yeah, he had a great Senior Bowl, and I like it because he's got the chip on his shoulder on social media. PFF put out their like top 150 or something, and like he quote tweeted is like, "Do you guys even know I exist?"
No,
like,
I don't think so. He went to Sacramento State. That's my point. No disrespect, but that's what happens when you go to some of these smaller schools. I got guys that I really feel like will be gems that didn't go to a big school just being at the Senior Bowl. Wait till we get to the offense. I'll tell you who I like on offense.
Oh, go. Let's do it.
I know nobody wants us to draft running backs, but this is a great draft.
That's Wade's position.
This is a great draft for running backs, and I really think the Niners should look at Delaware's Marcus Yarns. When I tell you that, first of all, the kid is going to be – I can't wait to see what his 40 time is. He told me he can run it. He said he thinks he's going to run it in a 4.3. How about no one was able to cover him out of the backfield? I mean, his route running is impeccable. It was superb. It was crisp. Like, I was like, he ran routes like a wide receiver. Sounds familiar? So getting open won't be his issue. As far as in the run game, I think he put up over 800 yards this year, if I'm not mistaken. But I really liked him. I didn't know who he was. And when I got there, I'm looking at this kid, and I'm like, yo, he's small. He can get through, but he's an outside guy. Speed is there. But if you can mismatch him in the pass-catching game, woo, man, that'll be a gem. And nobody's talking about him because he went to Delaware. You know what I mean?
I love those helmets, by the way. But, yeah, man, they remind me of
Michigan.
Right,
it kept confusing me. I'm like, that is not, that's not Michigan. Yeah.
It's clean, though. Over 100-plus snaps this past year at the slot and out wide receiver spot. Nicknames Rocket. Slippery. Makes guys miss. He is tiny. But if you could do it at the Senior Bowl, that's the thing.
Dude, he made it. Like, I was just like, dang. Like, between him and Tez Johnson, the wide receiver from Oregon, that's a big school. They were running routes. Like, I mean, they were routing people up. If the quarterbacks just knew how to throw the ball to them, they would have had touchdowns all day.
I love it, man. I will say this. This running back class, they're all young.
Steve.
You've got big. You've got small. You've got shifty. You've got wide receiver.
You got elusive. It's deep.
Gosh, I hope we don't spend high, though.
I don't think you need to. No, I didn't think you need to. Like I said, you can get a running back sixth round, seventh round.
Gosh.
Undrafted.
I wouldn't mind that at all. And again, like, my problem is, we have so many running backs. Like, let's say we do draft a guy that's awesome. Is he taking snaps away from Isaac Grindo? Is he taking snaps away from Jordan Mason? Is he taking snaps away from CMC? How are these guys, and we've heard this before from Kyle Shanahan, where we get to day three of the draft, and they're like, why didn't you draft a defensive lineman? He's like, well, we didn't see that they could make our roster with the guys we had. They're not better than the guys we had. So if you do spend a fifth or sixth round pick, is it just for injury insurance, or is this just a redshirt down the road guy?
Yeah, I mean, the Niners are always redshirting, so let's not act like they're changing that philosophy. That's what they've been doing for the past 3-4 years. They've built their infrastructure. It's built. Now they have to keep replenishing it with guys that fit. And so, you know, the best available. The best chance for a person to get an opportunity, I hate to say it, is through injury. You know what I mean? But you don't want to pass up on talent because you're free, because you don't want to waste a pick on a guy. This kid, the kid I'm talking about, is talented. The one thing I know is talent. Like, the kid's got something, and he stayed at this school because he wanted to break like every record. Like, it was a reason. He wasn't scared to go. He got offers to go to the other bigger schools, but he committed to the school and he stayed committed. That should tell you something right there. Like, yeah, you know, didn't enter the transfer portal. Did what, 5 years, I think, at Delaware? Like, you look it up. It's the kid is a problem. Like, yeah.
That's different in today's day and age. Brian Carter, he does great work. He works with us on the draft book that we do. Yards weighted better than I thought. His tape looked like he was 180. I think he came in at 189.
Cool, Brian, how do you do all the film watching stuff? He's
a beast.
Yeah, man, that's a gift.
Beast.
I put the film on. I'd be like,
yeah, that silent film, man. I got like Rage Against the Machine playing on the headphones. Yeah,
keep them drums going.
Like, let's go. I got Big Timers. Like, you know, I've got a couple different playlists I go back for. Brian goes on to say, running back is crazy deep. No problem snagging one in the 6th, 7th round.
I'm just giving you guys options. There's big names out there. I love Ollie Gordon II. He's your all-purpose back. Like, right? So, like, there are two running backs. But the kid, Omarion Hampton, who wasn't here, I think he's going to go high. Why? All-purpose back, huge, three down back,
power,
big guy, good luck trying to tackle him. Right, he's probably running back 2 in this draft after Ashton Jaunty, right? But Ollie Gordon II, I don't care what his stats look like in college, the kid's a pro. He's built like a pro, he runs like a pro, and hell, he could throw like a pro. Didn't know he was gonna throw a touchdown. What, all the trick plays in the game was crazy.
That was fun. I love that stuff. So real quick before, now we're going to jump to the other side of the ball. We're going to pick Wayne's brain on the defense, which I know a lot of us want to focus on that, getting Robert Saleh back and all that stuff. But before we do, if you bet the Super Bowl, this is what you got to do. The wild ride on the road to New Orleans is almost over. The big game is just around the corner. So for fans looking to cash in on the Super Bowl, my bookie is where it's at. They packed in promotions, props, and features that make betting on this event not just exciting, but seriously profitable. You can bet on props. Listen to these. How long will the national anthem last? Will somebody trip during the halftime performance? You can even talk about, man, are there going to be a taunting penalty called? Will the president tweet during the game? Which commercials will appear first, Budweiser or Coca-Cola? You want to go cars, Toyota or Jeep commercial first? Netflix or Amazon have a commercial first? All the way down to, what color will the Gatorade shower be? And if you like squares, guess what? Make every quarter count. You can play for as little as $1.25 and win big with prize pools up to $10,000. So, with everything from the Super Bowl props to live betting, MyBookie is the ultimate destination. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan the promo code next to me. It's going to take care of you, and you're going to get a boosted bonus when you make your first deposit. So, if you're betting anywhere, make sure to bet with MyBookie on the big game. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, real quick, I gotta put this out there. Groovy, I hate you. I hate you. I love you.
You got AD,
you,
man. You guys are gonna be just fine. You can say all you want, but when you see,
for a short term, for 2 years, if he stays healthy and, you know, eats his Flintstone vitamins, maybe.
Defensively, you guys just got better. You got the offense. You got Kyrie. You guys are going to be fine.
Yeah. We got the oldest roster. Anyway, let's get to Walter Nolan. Sorry, I just spit a little bit if y'all saw that live on there. Whatever. Let me talk to you. Like, I feel like he's the chalk pick for the 49ers at 11 now. Yeah. And I feel like he's continued to just rise up draft charts.
Yeah.
What were your takes seeing him live? I know he didn't play in the game and only practiced those couple days. What were your thoughts with just the conversations around Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss at the Senior Bowl?
I mean, you know, I'm high on Walter Nolan. He's my number 2. And I know if he's watching this, he's going to be like, damn, like, I got to be number 2. Yeah, I mean, I like, it's a Mason Graham world for me, because you're going to get the best of both worlds. I think Walter Nolan, if he can get his weight up just a little bit, just for the run stuffing, as far as pass rushing, he's got it. Like, he's a pass rusher, defensive tackle, which I feel like the Niners need more of. Yeah, he can stop the run. But I watched a couple of stuff on film where he get hit by a bigger guy. It kind of takes him out. He has to reset. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not that he gives up on the play, but depending on how he get hit, he get beat. The first tape I put on was against Georgia. That big-ass center hit him so hard. Yeah,
I like that center.
I was like, dang. But on the next play, man, he suplexed that center. Like he had to, like, get sized up real quick and then realize what he was working with and then go back. So he does fix himself on the spot. So I like that just based off of film. But he was the best defensive tackle in the Senior Bowl. At the Senior Bowl. And the hype was around Deion Walker because you got this big giant. Right, you got like the next version of a Calais Campbell, or just think of big 6'7" defensive tackle, big guy.
Who are you
right?
talking about? Which guy?
Deion Walker, defensive tackle out of Kentucky. Yeah. Big dot. Now that's your run stuffer, right? That's your run stuffer, but he might get a little chewed up in pass rushing in the way to block him because he plays a little high and things like that. So he could be a Niner. There's so many options. Like, where did the Niners want to go? Did they want to go strictly run stuff and do they want the best of both worlds? Did they want to go pass rushing? I think they go two defensive tackles in this draft too, by the way. That's just my take.
Yeah, I have center as the biggest need on the offensive side and defensive tackle.
Hands down.
And it's not even close on the defensive side. Invader, Lance Zierlein has Mason Graham falling to the Niners. I think that's insane. Mason Graham is a top three player in this draft for me.
Hey, man.
I just
happens,
do not see it.
I'll buy somebody something.
Drink. I have Mason Graham as the best pass rusher, defensive
and,
tackle,
and run
and
stuffer.
The best run stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's impossible for him to fall because if a team if he falls to the lowest, I think he falls is to 5. I don't think Jacksonville passes him up.
I don't think so either. But if that happens,
oh,
I would
but
love it.
But no, because you got the first three teams need quarterbacks. The question is, will the first
Abdul
three teams,
Carter's going first overall?
I'm just saying the first three teams need quarterbacks. The question is, will the first three teams draft a quarterback? And that's what that's what's going to change stuff up a little bit. Because Jackson Dart might climb up.
Cleveland and the New
York
Giants.
And Giants. They all need a quarterback, right? And so they all want a quarterback. The question is, will they draft a quarterback? And so then that leaves the Patriots. The Patriots will probably pick Carter. And then there goes Graham right to Jacksonville.
I cannot create a situation, one, where three quarterbacks go early, and then two, Abdul Carter and Mason Graham are on everybody's board.
Yeah, there's no way you're getting those guys. Those are your top five. And like I said, who would be that third quarterback?
Travis Hunter, maybe. Let's say throw Travis Hunter in there. I'm cool with that.
Okay, then your two quarterbacks will go, maybe Cam Ward and Sanders, right?
That's it, though. There's not a third.
No, there's not a third. Jalen Milroe's not it. Dylan Gabriel's not it. Dart is not going to be a first round guy. Second round, maybe a team
maybe
might reach on
first.
Him.
Maybe late first, but even that's a
no. Maybe late first to who? It's Kansas City. They're not drafting a quarterback. The Eagles aren't drafting a quarterback.
Rams. They need a quarterback. I don't know what's going to happen to that Stafford contract.
Good point. I feel like they won't go quarterback there, but some team second. He'll be. I think Dart will be the first quarterback off the board in round two.
I like that. I do like that. So again, my whole thing is, look, two quarterbacks, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter. Then after that, like, maybe Tet goes early or an offensive tackle goes early. But, man, it just
– I think Tet drops, though. I think T-Mac drops, right? Yeah, because I think defense is the key, right? You want to get the best defensive players early, and then players will fall. So this puts the 49ers in a bind, though, because now – you pick at 11, Tyler Warren might be available. You pick at, you know what I'm saying? What are you going to do? T-Mac from Arizona might be available at 11. Damn, you passing up on some talent that we don't necessarily need. But
no more wide receivers, man.
I get it. But he's different.
Trenches. I like him. I like him a lot. I remember watching Jacob Cowie tape, and it's his birthday today. Happy birthday,
Happy
Jacob
birthday,
Cowie.
Jacob Cowie.
And it was just like, ooh, who's this guy? I don't watch a lot of Pac, 12 or whatever conference they're in now, Big 12, I think. But I was like, who's this dude? Like, he kept popping on tape. I was like, that dude's for real. So now back to the defensive line. You put out your rankings, which, man, everybody go follow the Wayne Breezy on every social media, wherever you watch, listen to stuff. Please, please, please. right off the bat. And also, if you want an awesome hat, like look at this hat. I just got this new one right here. I got it at residency.com. Use code SFBreezy.
Breezy.
No spaces. Support the man. Look good. You ain't going to look as good as us, but you'll still look good. That's okay. We set the bar high here at the John and Wayne Show. Now, Darius Alexander, defensive tackle out of Toledo. Not a lot of people talk about
him. No. I was the first person, the first, to mention this kid out of Toledo. Go check my receipts. I'm not even a receipt
I
guy.
I pulled it from your feed. I was on the Wade Breezy scrolling. I saw Darius Alexander.
This was a while ago. And I, matter of fact, in my article from WebZone previewing the Senior Bowl, I said, watch out for Darius Alexander. God, dog. Listen, I like Walter Nolan, right? I'm okay if we don't draft Walter Nolan if plan B is Darius Alexander. Why is that, though? Why? Well, let's just say the kid's motor is through the roof. That's number one. His speed on the outside. Yeah, outside. I said outside. He's not a defensive tackle. He's a defensive lineman. Put the two together. His speed on the outside, he wins because he has these crazy moves, and then he transfers the speed from the inside where he uses his hands in a weird way. I think it just freakishly freaks out the offensive lineman. They didn't know what to do. This kid was getting to the quarterback. There's two players that I want the 49ers to draft if it's not any of the top guys that we're all hyped about. Darius Alexander and David Walker from Central Arkansas.
Where would you draft Darius Alexander? Where do you think he's going to be? Where's that sweet spot? Second round, third round?
He's a day two guy, right? So, like, he's going to be late third, maybe. He's going to be – the latest round he'll get drafted in is in the third round. But, again, the Niners go after their players. I don't know why we act like we don't know that. They went for Ricky Pearsall in the first round, and none of us were like, what? Right? So, if this is a kid that's on their board, and the connection – is I watched him. I watched two players consistently talking to KJ Wright. Darius Alexander, David Walker.
Smart. Kawachipto says, kid is going day two. Bride Carter says, Darius Alexander was a problem during the game. And Ty, I appreciate Ty. He says, I'm writing this down. This is good stuff. I love it. See, I'm learning. All right, well, let's go cornerbacks. I love the kid, Uzariah Thomas, out of Florida State.
Another kid that I kept saying. Look, man, he's not my number one. My number one is Will Johnson from Michigan. Why? Because I just feel like he can keep up and cover all these new wide receivers that are going to be entering the NFL. I understand his tape isn't much. I understand he didn't play a lot. But when he did play, it was pick six. Like, when he plays the position very well. So I really do like Will Johnson. But the second guy that I like is the guy that you just mentioned, Uzariah Thomas. Now, he didn't do much, in my opinion. Like, him and Trey Amos got the royalty treatment. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you take a couple snaps. We already know who you are. But the reason why I like Uzariah Thomas is because, I mean, he's just a good press. I think press man, I think that's his thing. I just think he's a guy that can line up on the best wide receiver and give that wide receiver some problems.
And so, like, man, I remember one of my first mock drafts before I even turned on the tape and started all these write-ups. I think I was taking him, like, in the fourth round. That's not a possibility, right? Like, this is
there's no way he's 50. There's no way he's dropping to the round four. Not after the Senior Bowl. And
what about round two, pick 43 for the 49ers? Is that a sweet spot for him?
Yeah, because look what – is it, though? No. They did it last year. I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners – you got to remember, man, who's his coach?
What do you mean, at Florida
State? At Florida State. Who coaches – yeah. So, you know what I mean? And who did we draft last year in round two?
We drafted not one but two Florida State players.
Right. And then the Florida State DB that we drafted, right, who was his coach? Same coach that coached Uzariah Thomas. These guys are coached a little bit differently because – that person's son is in the NFL, and he's probably the best damn player in the NFL at the position, Patrick Surtain Jr., right? So at the end of the day, like, my point is, I think Uzariah Thomas is going to be a problem. I wouldn't mind spending pick 43 on a cornerback.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And, you know, one of the guys I was really excited to see was Kobe Bryant, but, man, he came in so light. I know he's tough. I love the way he plays. But, man, he is just
Can you pull up man. NY Niners? He's a member. Can you pull up his comment?
Right here, the Jacob Parrish.
Talk to us about Jacob Parrish.
Teach us. Listen,
you want the best tackling DB in this draft? Like, first of all, good luck. He reminds me of our current number one DB. Like he's not a dog to where he barks, right? But his closeout speed is crazy. You're not catching the ball. If you do catch it underneath, get ready to get rocked. Like he's right there. Like rock. Best tackling DB in this draft, hands down. Jacob Parrish.
K-State, Kansas, baby. Gotta be tough to be up there in Manhattan, freaking Kansas. That place is god awful.
When I tell you, he really impressed me. I was mock drafting him early. And then I really fell in love with Isaiah Thomas. And so then at the Senior Bowl, when I seen him play, can't throw on him in the end zone, he's there. He's locked. Like, he's a good coverage DB, but he's going to tackle the hell out of you. And he has speed.
Yeah, I like it. I love the measurables. I love that. Again.
See?
Yeah.
What did I say? He was Demo. He's straight up. The bark is different, though. Demo earned his bark. So I'm not sure. Jacob Parrish will probably get a bark hanging around Demo for sure. It'd be a good pick.
Yeah, Demo was quiet early. You remember?
Yes, that's what I said. Playing, yeah. yeah.
Then it was like, hey, let's do this. Let's do this. All right, let's get to the back end, the safety. The Niners don't have a true free safety. Was there anybody that you saw that was like, dude, this guy could play free safety for the Niners, but he still could play the run? Because that's the issue. Niners have to have DBs that play the run. They won't touch them if they don't. Was there anybody that jumped out as a free safety that could play the run for you?
Just being honest, it's tough to measure against the run because of the way the runs are set up. And by the time the safety,
you don't get to see the thumps. They just walk up and tap the hip. And
I mean, they play at half to three-quarter speed, but it's really just a tap. And then you got to really be paying attention to the safeties. But the safety that stood out, there's two safeties. Kid from Tulane. I don't have him off the top of my head because I left my stupid paper up. Is he on my sheet? And Dan Jackson. I don't know who the hell Dan Jackson is. I don't know if he's related to the Jackson 5. I don't know. But this boy can ball. Like, ball. And you saw it in the Senior Bowl, but I saw it at practice. Now, if you want anybody that you want to thump, I think in the run game, he'd be that thumper. In the passing game, his closeout speed is crazy. You know, one of my favorite wide receivers was Jack Besh, right? Mm-hmm. This dude in the end zone, Jack Besh had a touchdown. And Dan Jackson says, not on my block, sir. I'm sorry. And it was the hardest hit in the practice to where I didn't think Jack Besh was going to get up because it was that crunch. He gives me John Lynch vibes. And I'm not just saying that because we have John Lynch as our coach. But those are the vibes he gives me. Hard hitting, good cover. He'll fit in that, that style of defense where you play those two cover two safeties, man. I'm telling you, I love this guy. Love him.
I love it. I love it, man. Wayne. So
Ransom's the kid, I think, out of Tulane. My bad. Tulane. I couldn't remember his name.
I'm learning. We all learning, and that's what it is.
Caleb Ransom. See, he comes to me.
There we go. He's got it without the notes. And if you've never seen Wayne's notes, they're incredible, by the way. He does them all by hand. He's old school and I love it. Any other players perhaps we haven't brought up that I want to give you the opportunity to bring up, somebody that stood out or a position or just really anything you want to go with before we wrap up the show?
And I just want to say that I'm going to be recording my risers and fallers from the Senior Bowl, so you'll get to see more of these players here for sure. But
when's that and when can we check in on that?
That should be uploaded today, so hopefully that'll be ready to go on my channel so you get to
automatic
see the risers
download.
And fallers. Yeah, so listen, man, Elijah Arroyo, tight end, was the best tight end for out of Miami, hands down. So I want people to understand that his route, his ability to get open at 251, 6'4", 250, 6'4", 6'5", 250. His ability to get open is ridiculous, And I don't know who you want to comp him as or whatever, but all I know is he's not a great blocking tight end, but he would be the perfect complimentary tight end to a guy like George Kittle. Because he just go back to the time where we had Kittle, and then free agency, we went after a guy named Jordan Reed. I'll leave it at that, and y'all can kind of decipher how you think that might work. Kyle Shanahan tried it, but again, his injuries in college kind of kept him off the field a lot, but he was super healthy at the Senior Bowl, and it's not just him making people miss. It's him getting open. Like, yeah, I could get open. You could cover. No safety could cover him. And that's a problem.
You know, it reminds me whenever we go to training camp at the start of the year, and it's like whoever's lining up against George Kittle or Christian McCaffrey, it's just like you just take your L. Like you can't like it's just, over before it starts.
Yeah.
And so
just imagine having 12 personnel on field with Christian McCaffrey as your running back, George Kittle and one of these receiving type of tight ends, like, and then you're blocking. I think that's when you put in your blocking wide receiver package, right? Like, because just to keep it a little, like, that would be dangerous, man. We need to get to this 12 personnel game. I'm all for 3 wide receiver sets, but nah.
Shanahan's best 12 personnel, I think, schemer in the NFL, but the personnel hasn't been
The personnel hasn't been I was going to say, because we tried it, and it false start on the second tight end.
Eric Stalbert. I mean, yeah, Eric Stalbert had, like, 800 snaps this year, I felt like, and it was just like,
It's just tough. But listen, those are the safeties from the Senior Bowl. We're not talking about everybody that's considered in the pool or the kids that play well, the guys that they interviewed from the East-West Shrine Bowl, because the Niners do draft players from the East-West Shrine Bowl too. Isaac Arendo is one of those guys. So I didn't go to that. I have to go kind of like do my homework on the East-West Shrine Bowl game. But I did like Noel Williams, cornerback from Cal.
Love that dude. He has the most. I think he played like 3,300 plus snaps.
Damn,
like almost 1,000 snaps more. Yeah, 3,300 plus 600 special. This guy, if you add up all of his snaps, it's like 4,000. It's almost 4 times as much as a lot of players are going to be drafted. So if you're an experience,
wow,
Noel is the man.
Wow. Also, defensive tackle Jordan Phillips from Maryland. It's somebody we're not talking about because we didn't really get to see. So we'll be putting some stuff out. He had a great East-West Shrine Bowl game as well.
He ain't even on my list. He ain't even on my draft book, man. I got so much work to do.
There's so many players, man. And, you know, the real thing is going to come down to how well these guys test. And so film is film, and how they play on film is film. Because I watched, even at the Senior Bowl, the one-on-ones, I watched guys get beat. And I was like, eh. But then when they did the 11-on-11s, they played team ball. Like, oh, shoot. Like, they play better in the real-life situation. So, yeah, they might get beat on a one-on-one situation. But, you know, when the rest of the group of the guys are out there, and, it's hard to evaluate Senior Bowl because you got to remember, those guys don't play together. And yeah. So they get together in a week, and they got to learn all these plays and whatever. I mean, it's basic concepts, but they've never played together before, right? You know, so I will say that I was impressed by the offensive linemen from LSU. I will, all of them. I was impressed. Emory Jones, Frazier, the other guy, I can't think his name off the top of my head. I was impressed by the LSU guys and their tight end, Mason Taylor.
This is awesome, man. I hope you guys have enjoyed this. We are spoiled. And on behalf of the faithful, I want to say thank you, Wayne. You have made my draft experience better. And I know I'm not where I need to be yet, but this is getting us there. So everybody, wherever you are, go subscribe to the Wayne Breezy Show. He's going to be doing his risers and fallers. But that's going to do it for us here today. Wayne, take us out, my friend.
Faithful, get ready. The offseason is here. Free agency is underway very shortly, and the Niners can be aggressive and be all in on some of these guys that are being released. It's going to be a real one. Brock Purdy's going to get paid, and the Niners are headed back to Super Bowl 60, baby. Get ready. Strap on your seatbelts as the DBs do, and we'll see you next week. Peace.